We have a very interesting gospel today from Mark chapter 13. We hear about a massive tribulation, and Christ says the sun will be darkened, the stars will be falling from the sky, and the Son of Man will be coming in the clouds with great glory. I had a professor when I went to college, which was at a state university, who taught a class on the New Testament. And he used this chapter from Mark along with a couple other passages from the New Testament. And what he taught was that Jesus believed that the end of the world would come within a generation after his passion and death. Because it says in the gospel today, Christ says, "Amen, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place." So he said Christ predicts the end of the world, the stars falling, the sun and the moon going out, and then Christ says it will happen within a generation. Which means that Jesus was wrong. Because we're still here, and the end of the world didn't come within a generation. And if Jesus Christ was wrong about that, then he could have been wrong about other things as well. And if he's wrong about something, if you just follow the logic, how could he be God? Because God couldn't be wrong about something. And so semester after semester, he'd be teaching over 100 students each time. He would bring a lot of students to waver in their faith or doubt the legitimacy of faith in Jesus Christ. And certainly that's not going to give them any excitement for going to church, you know, if their faith was wrong. Needless to say, I didn't like this class very much. I didn't really feel informed enough to be able to challenge the professor. So I just kind of sat there quietly and I was like, okay, well, I know you're wrong and I don't know why, but I'm just going to cling to my faith. So, you know, that's kind of what I did. But I think that's an important question for us. You know, was Jesus Christ wrong, first of all, in what he said in Mark 13? And to answer that question, the answer is pretty simple. We just have to read Mark 13 and we'll get the answer. You don't have to go very far. So if we go to the beginning of Mark 13, Christ with his disciples enter Jerusalem and they're walking around the temple. And someone says, "Look at these wonderful, beautiful buildings in the temple." And Christ says to them, "There will not be one stone left upon another that will not be thrown down." And then in verse 4, the apostles ask, they say, "Tell us, when will this be?" And so Jesus Christ uses the rest of Mark 13 to answer that question. So what he's predicting is the destruction of Jerusalem. And he uses this vivid imagery about stars falling from the sky and the powers of heaven being shaken. This imagery is used in other places in the Old Testament when cities and nations are destroyed, when Egypt is destroyed. In Isaiah 13:10, Babylon's destruction, it uses the same imagery about stars falling and the moon and the sun turning black. And so he uses that same biblical imagery for the destruction of Jerusalem. And what he's saying is the Son of Man is going to come and bring judgment upon the city of Jerusalem. And he said it's going to happen within a generation, which is within 40 years, which means it should have happened before the year 73. What happened to Jerusalem? They rebelled against the Roman Empire. The Romans sent the armies in. There was a war that ended up in a horrific destruction of the city of Jerusalem in the year 70 AD, exactly as Jesus Christ said it would. And so in verse 14, Jesus says, "Those in Judea flee to the mountains." If he were talking about the end of the world, it wouldn't help to go flee to the mountains. He was telling the Christians that when the end of Jerusalem was coming, leave Jerusalem and go to the mountains in the east, which is exactly what they did, and they were preserved from the destruction. Now, at the end of chapter 13, Christ does go on to talk about the end of the world. He says, "Heaven and earth will pass away. But of that day or that hour, no one knows except the Father." And so I'm sure that this professor was very intelligent. I'm sure he had a very expensive academic degree from somewhere. I'm not sure where. But he built his career on teaching on a completely false premise, which you can easily see as false if you just read Mark 13. The reason I bring this example up is because cynicism against religion is so prevalent within our culture and within our colleges. And I think that's why so many of our young people lose their faith when they go to college, is they're confronted with things like this. And what the professor said, you know, if you just listen to what he said, it made perfect sense. Oh, Jesus Christ predicted the end of the world. He said it would happen within a generation. He's wrong. He's not God. It makes perfect sense. But if you dig a little deeper, you find out that's not true at all. And someone should have researched that and seen that. It would have been fairly easy to read Mark 13. But most of the attacks against our faith are usually very easy to disprove. And a lot of the things that people attack us on, you know, there have been Christians throughout the centuries who have studied those same issues and have come up with some very good, very convincing answers to those. So it's not like this question has never come up before in human history. But we live in a culture where religion is attacked, and in our culture, secularism is rampant. You know, secularism is a worldview that rejects religion or is indifferent to religion. You know, it's a worldview that just views all of reality without reference to God. And that's something that is so prevalent within our college campuses. And it's also something that's very prevalent within our school system, our primary and secondary school system. You know, in our schools, you know, we're in a situation where kids and teachers are not allowed to pray. They're not allowed to openly talk about religion. You know, teachers have to be very, very careful if they even mention anything about religion. But what ends up happening is a secular view of history is presented. It's an absolutely ridiculous view of human history and of various fields of study if you're looking at reality without any reference to God. Because in truth, God created the entire universe. He created every field of science. And so to view literature, to view history, to study, you know, all these different fields without any reference to God, you end up with a very, very biased and wrong view of reality. And that's what goes on in our schools because they are secular. But there's people who have deliberately brought this about. You know, it didn't happen by accident. There's people who want to strip the influence of religion from the public sphere, whether it's politics, law, even war memorials. They want to take crosses away. And so, you know, what we have is instead of what our nation intended, which is constitutionally protected free practice of religion, where people are free to pray, free to express their religious beliefs, what we have is almost a government-mandated secularism, where you have to keep your religion to yourself, keep it within the walls of the church. You can believe whatever you want, but don't talk about it, and don't bring it into the public sphere, and don't bring it into the schools. Now, but as to secularism, what Jesus Christ predicted was true. He said that Jerusalem would fall within one generation, and it did. And that judgment would be brought, and it was. And he predicts that one day the Son of Man will come in glory and end this world, and that prediction is true. You know, Jesus Christ, to him belongs all time and all places, all governments, all schools, all families, all communities, and every single one of us will ultimately answer to Jesus Christ because he is the author of all of human history, and all time and all places belong to him. He is the beginning and the end of human history. And secularism is a sham, and it leads us on a path to destruction because it's based upon a lie that God is not integrally connected to our world and that we can view reality and live our lives without God. And that's false. That's simply a lie. What is the truth? The truth is Jesus Christ is intimately connected with this world. He established his church as the instrument of salvation. And through faith in Jesus Christ and through following him, one day this world is going to end. And it is going to culminate in a new creation. And there is going to be a resurrection from the dead. And all those who are faithful to Jesus Christ, as we hear in the reading from Daniel, will rise on the last day as children of the light, shining radiant and beautiful. That is the truth, and that's what Christ predicts, and it will happen. And so we hear in the first reading today from Daniel, he invokes the great prince and the guardian of God's people. Who is that? It's Saint Michael the Archangel. Daniel is told to invoke St. Michael, and we're praying the St. Michael prayer at the end of every Mass in order to protect us, to protect our nation, to protect our society, our families from the attacks of the enemy, including the lies of secularism and other teachings that seek to undermine our faith. And so we pray through the intercession of St. Michael, the Archangel, that he will bring us victorious to the last day through our faith in Jesus Christ and our fidelity to his church.